Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the third quarter 2023 JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited earnings conference call. All participants are in listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. Please note this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Stella Wang of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Thank you everyone for joining us today for JinkoSolar's third quarter 2023 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's earnings call, which can also be found on the IR website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman of the Board of Directors and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, Mr. Gener Miao, Chief Marketing Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited, Mr. Pan Li, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Holding Company Limited, and Mr. Charlie Cao, Chief Financial Officer of JinkoSolar Company Limited. Mr. Li will discuss the JinkoSolar's business operations and company highlights, followed by Mr. Miao, who will talk about the sales and marketing, and then Mr. Pan Li, who will go through the financials. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the Safe Harbor Provisions of the U.S. Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future results may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. JinkoSolar does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements, except as required under the applicable law. It's now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Li Xiande, Chairman and CEO of JinkoSolar Holding. Mr. Li will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Li.
我们很高兴凭借在N型TOPCon技术全球化运营和一体化产能等优势，克服了市场波动带来的挑战，取得了同比大幅增长的组件出货量、毛利率和净利润。组件出货量1月21.4吉瓦，同比增长了111.9%。三季度的硅料成本环比2季度有所下降，高效有溢价的N型产品出货量超过60%。美国市场出货量环比提升，贡献了三季度盈利水平的增长。
$0.83。摊薄每股收益为0.63美金，同比增长15.7%。三季度毛利率为15.7%，净利润为$1.814亿，同比增长145.7%。经调整，利润为$1.846亿，同比增长2.15%。摊薄每股收益为$0.63美金，同比增长188.7%。
We are pleased that we were able to overcome the challenges we faced due to market volatility and deliver a strong third quarter. We did so by leveraging our advantages in N-type TOPCon technology, extensive global operation network, and advanced integrated capacity structure. Our module shipments, gross margin, and net income all increased significantly year-over-year. Total module shipments were approximately 21.4 GW, an increase of 107.9% year-over-year. Polysilicon costs decreased sequentially. High-efficiency N-type products that command a premium account for over 60% of total module shipments, and module shipments to the U.S. markets recorded sequential growth in the third quarter, all contributing to improve the profitability. Year-over-year, our net income increased by 140.7% to $181.4 million, and adjusted net income increased by 215.1% to US$184.6 million. Diluted earnings per ordinary share increased by 188.7% to US$0.63. And gross margin increased from 15.7% to 19.3%.
三季度以来，产业链价格的下降进一步刺激了终端需求。2023年1月到9月，国内光伏新增装机规模达到 128.9 吉瓦，超过去年全年新增装机规模近 50%。 光伏产品作为中国出口新商业之一，成为拉动中国经济增长的新动能，并为推动全球能源转型贡献力量。与此同时，供求关系的变化带来了竞争加剧、技术加速迭代、高利率、地缘政治风险等多个因素，对全球光伏市场的发展带来一定波动，对于行业的参与者提出了更高的要求。我们认为光伏行业面临充分竞争，头部企业的优势会在这样的市场中更加凸显。截止三季度末，金科能源成为行业率先达成全球逐电出货量190吉瓦的光伏企业，产品已销往190多个国家和地区。我们的全球化的销售、运营和管理能力，叠加研发的不断积累和持续创新，助力我们构建全方位的竞争壁垒。我们有信心穿越周期的波动，实现健康可持续的盈利水平，努力提升对股东的回报。
Since the third quarter, price declines in the supply chain have stimulated end market demand. For the first 9 months, newly added installations of PV in the domestic market reached 128.9 gigawatts, nearly 50% more than the four-year installations in 2022. As one of the new three products to boost China's export,Solar has become a new driving force for China's economy and also contributes to global energy transition. Meanwhile, intensified competition brought by changes in supply and demand, accelerated technical iteration, high interest rates in some regions, and geopolitical tensions caused some volatility in the global PV market, which tested all industry players.We believe that we, as the industry leader, will become even stronger as the competition intensifies. At the end of the third quarter, we became the first module manufacturer in the world to have delivered a total of 190 gigawatts solar modules, covering over 190 countries and regions. Our capabilities in globalized sales, operations, and management,added by continuous R&D accumulation and innovation, help us build an all-round competition barrier. We are confident in our ability to navigate through the volatility in a cycle, achieve healthy and sustainable profitability, and increase our shareholders' value.
截止三季度末 ，N 型 TOPCon 量产效率达到 25.6%。N 型组件相当同版型的 P 型组件高出25到35瓦，得益于 N 型更高的效率对初始投资成本的摊薄，以及更高的发电量带给客户的附加值。全球市场对 N 型产品的需求持续增长， N 型产品相当于 P 型的溢价仍然坚挺，相较于市场溢价有优势。
By the end of the third quarter, the mass-produced efficiency of N-type cell reached 25.6%, and the N-type module power output was 25 to 30 watts-peak higher than similar P-type modules. Demand for these products continued to increase globally as the LCOE is lower. N-type modules still retained a premium over similar P-type modules,and the premium continued to exceed the market's average.
截止三季度末，我们的 N 型电池产能已经超过55吉瓦，预计到年底 N 型电池产能将达到70吉瓦左右，有竞争力的产能结构领先行业。山西超级一体化基地已开工建设一期和二期合计28吉瓦的硅片电池组件一体化 N 型产能，预计在明年上半年投产。此外，我们长期看好光储平价带来的发展机遇，储能的业务和产能的建设和业务的培育在按照计划稳步进行。
At the end of the third quarter, we already had over 55 gigawatts of N-type cell production capacity. And by the end of this year, N-type cell production capacity is expected to reach about 70 gigawatts, a competitive capacity structure leading the industry. Recently, our integrated project in Shanxi, China, started construction. Phase 1 and Phase 2 for a total of 28 gigawatts wafer, cell, and module integrated capacity are expected to start production in the first half of 2024. In addition, we are optimistic about the growth potential brought by solar storage parity in the long run, and our capacity build-up and development of energy storage business are progressing steadily.
近期，我们的182型高效电晶单晶硅电池的实验室转化效率达到了 26.89%， 又一次创造了 TOPCon 电池转化效率的新高，是我们研发创新的重要里程碑。继金科能源领衔整个行业推动 N 型 TOPCon 技术升级后，预计明年 N 型 TOPCon 占据全行业 70% 以上，成为主流。N 型 TOPCon 技术具备更高的转化效率、更低的产业化成本等优势。我们坚定地认为 TOPCon 的技术在目前及未来3到5年仍然是主流的技术路线。我们有信心通过持续的技术迭代以及一体化产能的优势，在功率、成本以及产品力上动态领先行业半年左右。
Recently, our high-efficiency 182 N-type TOPCon cell set a new record with maximum lab conversion efficiency of 26.89%, again creating an important milestone in the innovation of our products and solutions. Thanks to our leadership in driving N-type TOPCon technology, N-type TOPCon products is expected to capture market share greater than 70% in the whole industry, achieving absolute dominance. With higher conversion efficiency, lower industrialization costs, and other advantages, we firmly believe TOPCon technology will remain the mainstream technical path for now and in the future 3 to 5 years. We are confident to be ahead of the industry dynamically by about half a year in terms of power output, cost, and product competitiveness. Through continuous technology iteration and leveraging our integrated capacity.
作为负责任的全球化公司，我们在可持续发展、持续进步，凭借在 CSR 方面的优异表现，我们在 EcoVadis 评级中获得了领先行业的高分。我们致力于越来越多的国家和地区提供清洁、高效、可效的光伏产品和储能解决方案，为全球清洁能源转型提供新颗力量。
As a responsible global company, we continue to make progress in sustainable development. With excellent performance in corporate social responsibility, we received a high rating from EcoVadis, outperforming the mainstream PV companies. We are dedicated to providing clean, high-efficient, and reliable solar products and energy storage solutions to more and more countries and regions, making our contribution to global energy transition.
话题交给接纳之前，我来介绍一下业绩指引。预计2023年底 N 型电池量产效率将达到 25.8%， 有信心超额完成70到75吉瓦的出货目标，其中 N 型组件出货量将达到 60% 左右。预计2023年底单晶硅片高效电池组件产能将达到85、90、110吉瓦，其中 N 型产能将占到 75% 以上。2023年第四季度，公司组件出货量在23吉瓦左右。我们有信心凭借先进的技术和优质高效的产品持续引领行业。
Before turning over to Jenner, I would like to go over our guidance for the fourth quarter and full year of 2023. By the end of 2023, they expect mass-produced N-type cell efficiency to reach 25.8%. We are confident to exceed the four-year module shipments guidance of 70 to 75 gigawatts, with N-type module accounting for approximately 60% of total module shipments. They expect our annual production capacity for mono wafers, solar cells, and solar modules to reach 85, 90, and 110 gigawatts respectively by the end of this year, with N-type capacity accounting for over 75% of the total capacity. We expect the module shipments to be about 23 gigawatts for the fourth quarter of 2023. We are confident we will continue to lead the industry with our advanced technology and premium high-efficient products.
Thank you, Ms. Lee. Total solar shipments were 22.6 gigawatts in the third quarter, with module shipments accounting for 95%. As we continue to improve product quality and further develop our client service network, our brand influence continues to grow. By end of the third quarter, our all-time accumulative global solar module shipments exceeded 190 gigawatts, covering over 190 countries and regions. In response to market volatility, we flexibly adjusted the geographic mix of our shipments during the quarter. The domestic market became the dominant area for our shipments, accounting for around 40%. Shipment to emerging markets remained stable sequentially, while Asia Pacific and North America increased compared to the last quarter. We are particularly pleased that shipments of high-efficiency Tiger Neo modules exceeded 60% of total module shipments as Tiger Neo accelerated its market penetration, especially in China, Middle East, and North Africa, and Asia Pacific. Thanks to higher efficiency and the high added value to customers, Tiger Neo products still carry a substantial premium compared to similar P-type products and continue to outperform the industry average. In terms of prices, lower upstream costs have been reflected in module prices, which decreased compared to the second quarter. As prices decline, some clients have slowed the pace of new orders and some of the existing orders were delayed. However, lower module prices leading to greater economic benefits also drove plenty of demand, which filled the gap because caused by delayed orders. We adjusted prices and market strategy timeline to cope with market shifts and solicited real-time feedback from clients. Our order signing moves unsteady as planned, with our globalized sales network and the localized customer service infrastructure, we are committed to maximizing the value of products and the services we provided to our clients. Recently, we signed 3.6 gigawatt module supply agreement with N-type Tiger Neo with Aqua Power. With industry-leading efficiency, reduced the degradation and the temperature coefficient, enhanced the bifacial factor, outstanding low light performance, and unparalleled yield per watt to reduce system lifetime energy cost, Tiger Neo delivers at least 3% of power generation gain to clients, particularly under the climate conditions of desert area in Middle East. The excellent temperature coefficients and the bifacial factor will significantly raise power generation and the project IRR. As industry chain prices declined and started to stabilize, large-scale utility projects accelerated the connection to the grid, and we expect a new installation record in China this year. Relatively high inventory in Europe is being gradually digested, and demand remains strong in U.S. market under the Inflation Reduction Act. We are also optimistic about growing solar demand in Saudi Arabia and other Middle East countries to support energy transition. With high demand certainty and the help of our high-efficient products and services, we are confident that we will expand our market share. With that, I will turn the call over to Pan.
Thank you, General. The significant growth in our module shipments, decrease in raw material cost, as well as our continuous cost control, helped our key financial metrics, including total revenue, gross margin, operating margin and net margin improved year over year. At the end of September, we declared a cash dividend of $1.5 per ADS, which is expected to be paid on or around December 6th this year. With the continuous expansion of our global industrial chain, market footprint, and the power of our products, we are confident to maintain a healthy and sustainable profitability, meeting our commitment to shareholders. Let me go into more details now. Total revenue was 4.36 billion, flat sequentially, and up 63% year over year. Gross margin was 19.3% compared with 15.6% in the second quarter this year and 15.7% in the third quarter last year. The sequential and year-over-year increases were mainly due to the decrease in the cost of raw materials. Total operating expenses are accounted for 9.9% of total revenues, compared with 10.6% in the second quarter this year and 15.4% in the third quarter last year, improving year over year. Income from operations was about 410 million, compared with income from operations of 212 million in the second quarter this year and 8.8 million in the third quarter last year, improving both sequentially and year over year. Operating margin was 9.4% compared with 5% in the second quarter this year and 0.3% in the third quarter last year, improving sequentially and year over year. Net income attributed to Jinko Solar Holdings ordinary shareholders was 181.4 million flat sequentially and compared to 77.3 million in the third quarter last year, improving year over year. Excluding the impact of a change in fair value of the notes and long-term investments and share-based compensation expenses, the adjusted net income was 184.6 million flat sequentially and up two times year over year. Let's move into balance sheet. At the end of the third quarter, our cash and cash equivalents were 1.93 billion compared with 2.35 billion in the second quarter. AR turnover days were 87 days compared with 79 days in the second quarter of 2023. Inventory turnover days decreased to 67 days in the third quarter from 70 days in the second quarter this year. At the end of the third quarter, total debt was 4.23 billion compared to 4.73 billion in the second quarter this year. Net debt was 2.29 billion compared to 2.38 billion in the second quarter this year. Our debt structure is improving. This thing concludes our prepared remarks. We are now happy to take your questions. Operator, please proceed.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star, then one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star, then two. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Our first question today will come from Philip Shen of Roth MKM. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions. You guys had a pretty nice margin in Q3 despite the collapse in module prices. Seems like you've been able to match your cost structure with your module pricing. So I was wondering if you could give us your sense of how you expect module pricing to trend in Q4 and then also Q1, and then also in terms of margins, what do you expect, similar margins in Q4 and Q1 versus Q3, or do you think there could be potential for even margin expansion in Q4 and Q1? Thanks.
Hey, Philip, this is Charlie, and we did very good, you know, in the first 9 months, including the third quarter, and thanks to our strong order visibilities, and we almost finished this year target, 20 to 25 gigawatts. And regarding the module price, the trend is in downward trend, and it's we are expecting, you know, the ASP, you know, in Q4 is in the downward trend versus the third quarter. And because we have more exposures to Chinese markets in the fourth quarter, we expect the gross margin is possibly slightly down, you know, quarter over quarter. And next year we believe, you know, the module price will be relatively stabilized. And regarding the you know, it's very important for us to next year, you know, we look up, you know, as quickly as possible the sales orders. And we are in a good position. I think we have the largest N-type in TOPCon capacities, and we have the most largest integrated capacities out of China, you know, for the U.S. market. And we expect to have over 30% shipments to European market and the U.S. market together. And we are aiming to over, you know, 85% shipments of TOPCon next year. So we are confident we can deliver relatively better, you know, performance compared to our peers, you know, next year.
Got it. Okay. So Q4 margin could be down slightly because of the China mix. And then Q1,
yes.
Perhaps you could have some expansion beyond, so growth or expansion of the margin in Q1 and 2?
It's too early to say, but, you know, this year our performance in the U.S. market is not so good because, you know, the module was delayed, you know, detained. And we expect next year everything is getting on the schedule, and the margin contribution from the U.S. market will, you know, be quite significant, you know, starting from next year.
Great. Okay. Thank you. You mentioned, Charlie, just now the U.S. shipments. And so I was wondering, in Q3, was there a large benefit in margin from the healthy amount of U.S. shipments because you've been able to be released from detention very quickly? Next year, you know, I think in the past you were talking about 10 gigawatts of shipments for the U.S. market in 24, but in your PowerPoint today, you highlighted 12 plus gigawatts by year end 23 of integrated capacity. So do you think 24 could actually be closer to 12 gigawatts? We can leave it there. Thank you.
Yeah. Next year, yes, our target is over 10 gigawatts shipments in the U.S. market. And that's our business target. And the contribution, you know, earning contribution from U.S. market in third quarter is not good because, you know, we shipped around 1.3, 1.4 gigawatts, but most of the modules was, you know, produced 6 to 9 months ago. And it's a relatively high cost, and including the storage cost. So back to your question, and it's improving, you know, quarter by quarter. I believe, you know, from the beginning of next year, and the earning power from the U.S. will be quite significant for Jinko.
Great. Got it. So you were able to generate 19% margin in Q3 despite the high storage costs and the high
Yes.
Cost.
No. Yeah.
That's very interesting. One last question, and I'll pass it on. Can you compare the pre-impairment margins in Q3 versus Q4 actuals? In other words, what is the like-to-like margin trajectory?
You mean the impairment margin or the margin including impairment, right?
Right. The margin.
We don't expect pre-impairment.
I know.
And we did have some impairment, inventory impairment in the second quarter by the end of the June. But we don't expect any additional or significant impairment for both third quarter and the fourth quarter. We don't expect. And everything is ordered. And we are in good position. And we believe our price is pretty nice if you compare our ASP with the small market price, and we don't expect the inventory, you know, impairment.
Great. Okay. Thank you for all the detail. I'll pass it on.
Thank you.
Again, if you have a question, please press star and then one. Our next question today is from Brian Lee of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking the questions. This is Grace on for Brian. I guess my first question, just to follow up to the ASP questions earlier, just wonder if you can talk about the ASP trends by maybe end market and by different geography. Just asking because we have heard that some of the markets, like especially the DG market, have seen really high channel inventory. So can you provide a bit more color on the ASP trends? Thank you. And I have a follow-up.
Yeah, sure. Normally we see a DG market is relatively ASP higher than utilities. That's what people think. But at the current stage, we see a special situation in U.S. market especially, right? So the U.S. market, because of many reasons, the DG market is more pressured than the utility market. That's what we have observed. I think personally, we believe a very important reason is because of the, let's say, the supply side, right? So if the supply side is using a fully traceable, let's say, raw material, or they are just, you know, play the opportunity game on the spot market. So I guess that's one of the reasons why we see, you know, just oversupply in the U.S. DG market in such short term. For the rest of the world, we believe that DG market is relatively healthy. So we still see a strong DG market. For example, in Europe, right now there are some pressures from the inventory side. But in the long term, we are still a big fan of European market, no matter it's DG or utility. So we believe, as the pre-remarked speech we have, so it's starting digesting, so it will take some time, but it will be there. That's what we believe.
Great, thank you. And then my second question on your shipment guide, your 4Q shipment guide of 23 gigawatts, kind of implying a flattish quarter-over-quarter growth, but I think historically your 4Q is much higher than 3Qs. Is it driven by the orders delay that you referenced on the prepared remarks, or is there something else? And also, can you quantify how much of the delay was that, and when do you expect those orders to come back? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. So we are relatively conservative numbers, which is I think is the high end of our annual guidance to. Which will be around 75 gigawatts. Still, on the order book side, we have, you know, more than what we need, but we still have some supply bottleneck. That's one of the reasons why we continue to expand our capacity, try to fulfill all this commitment we are making. So overall, we are fully confident that we can beat our, let's say, guidance if needed. It depends on the supply side and the market trend. And Your follow-up question is about if you're talking about next Q1 or next year's order book. Again, for this next year's total demand side, we are fully confident the market will go up by another 20, even 25% compared with 2023. So in the key market, we still believe the high quality, you know, high efficiency N-type TOPCon product is still in some of the, let's say, somehow shortage. That's why we still have the confidence we will continue to build up our order book and extend our market share next year.
Okay, thank you. I pass it on.
Thank you.
Again, it is star and then one to ask a question. Our next question will come from Rajiv Chaudhry of Intrinsic Edge Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning and congratulations on a very strong quarter in what was a very difficult environment for the industry. I have a few questions. I want to start by asking if there were any charges, inventory-related charges, in the gross margin number in the second, in the third quarter.
Hello, Rajiv. The answer is no.
Okay. And were there any charges in the selling and marketing or general and administrative expenses that were one-time expenses?
Excuse me, can you repeat that again?
Yeah. Were there any one-time charges in the SG&A line items?
We did have some, you know, roughly I think maybe 25 million one-off accrual for some, you know, previous litigation regarding the one of the module contract long time ago. So it's one time. I think it's in the other operating expenses, not in the G&A expenses, but we did have some, you know, this 20 million, you know, one-off charge.
Okay. And going back to the gross margin, I'm trying to understand what your cost of polysilicon was for the quarter. And the number I'm coming up with is around $16 on average, $16 per kilo on average blended mix between Chinese polysilicon and the U.S. polysilicon. Is that a fair estimate?
Rajiv, we don't disclose the number, but you can look at the index and the China poly roughly, I think, in the range of the 60 RMB per kg to 90 RMB per kg, and but the polysilicon out of China is kind of I think five times, you know, compared to China. It's a different, you know, price, you know, mechanism.
Yeah, actually, DQ Energy just reported their ASP for the quarter was actually $7.60. So that is actually closer to 50 RMB per kg.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, man. You can, you know, there's a public index, right, for the poly, and
right.
You can do the calculations. But think about, we have the inventory turnover days is roughly 60 to 80 days. We have production lead times, right? You need to think about the time difference and to do the calculation. But you can do the calculation based on the trend, but the detail, you know, the numbers, I think we have the supply chain advantage compared to market price. But we have different mix, and for the U.S. market, which is the, you know, the market out of U.S., it's the poly price is different.
So, Charlie, is it fair to say that because you have 60 to 80 days of inventory, that your poly prices are always lagging the spot market by 60 to 80 days?
Yeah, you can do the estimation based on that.
Okay. My other question is about competition. At the prices where modules are right now, what percentage of the industry players between tier two and tier three do you think are losing money right now? And what percentage of these companies are cutting back on their production because they are below the pricing is below their cash costs?
Yeah, well, for the we have seen this situations recent, I think, months. For different utilization rates for different players in the industries. For the tier one integrated companies, like Jinko, we have, order visibilities, a very good, mix for the N-type versus P-type. And we have good management of cost. So for some orders with relatively low price, we are able to continue to deliver, I think, the reasonable margin of gross profitabilities. But for the tier two, tier three players, even some, let's say they are not integrated, they are not international companies, they are reducing their utilization rate. So it's going to be different. It's going to be different situations and for different companies. I think the tier one top tier company will take the advantage to get more market shares.
Right. Do you see that happening already, that the tier three companies are cutting back their production right now?
Yeah, they're doing, the utilization for tier two, tier three, they're lower their utilization rate.
So it is reasonable to think that your ASPs are going to be much higher than the spot market prices because you are selling into the utility market, which is more contract driven, and a lot of the spot prices that tier three companies are selling into really are fire sales.
It's fair to say that, but different companies have different mix to different countries and different mix to the DG versus utilities, and different product mix. So I think, for Jinko, we are confident and we are combined together, our module price is relatively higher than the market price. It's not market price, the spot price you see, you saw from the, the public, website.
Sally, can you also talk about what was the level of depreciation in the third quarter and the EBITDA for the third quarter?
I think we have disclosed the EBITDA, so including the details breakdown, and you can look at the PPT and you can look at the PPT and we have detailed numbers. It's roughly $600 million. You can look at the details, including the calculation.
I see. Okay. Sorry, I have not had a chance to look at that. Can you also talk about what percentage of the market, not Jinko, but the market this year will be Topcon, and what the percentage will be next year in terms of, how much Topcon will be produced by the other companies?
This is the first year for N-type Topcon to penetrate the market, and we think the overall the market size it's 20-25% this year, but we deliver 60%, and next year it's possible N-type will achieve 60%-70%, but we are able to achieve I think over 85%.
So if the market this year is over 400 gigawatts, you're saying that TOPCon this year is over 100 gigawatts?
Let me take it as the last follow-up. So roughly, we estimate the total industry output for TOPCon will in this year will be somewhere around 100 to 110 gigawatts. And so across which Jinko will contribute around 70 gigawatt-ish. So next year, the number definitely will be more than doubled for the total industries. We're expecting somewhere around 400 gigawatt, but definitely Jinko will take a main part of it, but definitely not as big as this year.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
And finally, one last question on the interest-bearing debt. You made a point that the interest-bearing debt came down in the third quarter. Is that something that we should expect will continue in Q4 and Q1?
Yeah, we will gradually decrease the debt because our earnings increase gradually, yeah.
Yeah. The operating cash flow for Asia company, we generated, I think, record numbers this year. For the first 9 months, it's around 11 billion RMB operating cash flows. That's significant improvement. So for the leverage, the total debt, we're expecting to continue to let's say, the decrease step by step.
Great, thank you, and congratulations again.
Please press star and then one to ask a question. Again, it is star and then one to join the question queue. Our next question today will come from Alan Lau of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So first of all, congratulations to the company in the very impressive results in 3Q. And despite other peers are actually having declining profits quarter over quarter. So some of the questions on the details as to whether how is the U.S. shipment situation? How much has the company shipped to the U.S. and what is the view on 4Q shipment to the U.S. and has the custom inspection improved, etc.? Thanks.
Yeah, we just talked about the earning contribution from the U.S. for Jinko in third quarter, and you know we have smooth the clearance, let's say with CBP, starting from July, and the Q4 we delivered roughly 1.4 gigawatts, and we are expecting stable shipments in Q4 versus Q3, and because a lot of inventory was detained in the first half year. So we shift a relatively high volume in third quarter. And fourth quarter, our production, return to normal planning, normal standards, and we shift around the similar numbers. But earning contribution will quarter by quarter improve. Third quarter, the contribution is not so big because of the inventory was produced 6 or 9 months ago. The cost, storage cost, production cost is relatively higher. But next year, we are expecting with strong earnings from U.S. shipments.
And so what you mean is because you have locked in the module price through the contract, and then as the input price is now declining, so you expect U.S. Market will actually be improving a lot from Jinko perspective, right?
Yeah, it's you know, if you look at the market, the market, the module is high, right? Because of it was only can be supplied from the capacity out of China. There is a new FLPA issues, you know, for the industry in the last 12 months. And for Jinko specifically, because our inventory, you know, was produced long time ago, and we get the process very smooth and starting from July. And the relatively old inventory, the cost is really higher. So earning gross margin contribution is small for third quarter. But going forward, we expect to, the earning contribution will be improved very quickly, quarter by quarter. And next year, the Q1 will be in a very good position.
And this, I think that is a very positive point that a lot of investors have not fully appreciated this. Thanks a lot for the clarity on this. And then my next question is, so FN has been talking about the inventory in Europe. So how do we see it, and around how many days or months of inventory we have in Europe?
Yeah, so approximately in Europe market, that's a main DG-based market. So in that kind of segment, in my opinion, that's normally around 2 months of the local inventory plus the logistic time, maybe 1 month to one and a half months should be reasonable. So total together, if you're taking from the manufacturer point of view, on average, it should take a 3 to 3.5 months of the volumes. That's the, let's say, normal or let's say the standards inventories across everyone. If you look into the seller's point or distributor's point, you know, that's normally around approximately 2 months of the inventory.
Understood. So you think the current level is actually at 2 months and it is actually normal, right?
I'm saying for a DG-based distributor-generated driven market, that's the market standard, let's say, right? As a current status, especially you mentioned Europe, I think you know that because of the prices falling, so the end customer is having the hesitation to wait until the market price come into the at the lower level. So that slow down the, let's say, the sales volume at the end customer side. That's the reason why from the channels or the inventories point of view, you know, the inventory is higher than the, let's say, normal situation. However, in my opinion, the end customer, the end market and demand is still there, but it's just to create some hesitation. But I believe it takes maybe 1-2 more months time to observe, digest all the inventories across the whole channel. But the demand is still robust in Europe.
Understood. Could you share your view on the utility side of things in Europe? Because I think people have been focusing a lot on DG market in Europe, and actually inventory is mostly related to DG. But how about utility markets in Europe?
In utility segment, not only in Europe, but across the whole globe, there's barely any inventories, a real inventory, right? So most of the inventory under the utility segment is more, you know, build, wait until the goods deliver on site, but it's not a free inventory you can redirect to sell to others, right? So that's why even accounting basis, it is defined as inventory, but from a sales point of view, it is not available to sell, right? It's just a wait until the right timing or it's on the way to the destinations, right? That's why not only Europe, but across the whole world, that's more or less the situation in utility. Even there's some inventory on the accounting basis, but it should not be a risky too much.
Yeah, I see your point. I think I would like to know how is the demand in utility side of things, like in US or in Europe as well? Because will the decline in module prices stimulate more installation in the utility side? And how does
definitely,
that compensate
yeah.
with the interest
yeah,
rate?
So firstly, the demand side, definitely we see there's some more attractions for the end customer to continue to develop more solar projects in utility segment because IRR is becoming more more and more attractive. The yield is higher and higher. So, however, you know, it's a cycle, right? So when you develop a project, it doesn't happen at day one. It takes 12 months, 18 months, sometimes even 24 months, even more to have all this, you know, to finish all the whole development cycle, even, you know, early financing to close the financing part to be ready to place orders to the module side. So it takes pretty long cycle. So my simple answer is yes, we see a very promising future, both US and Europe, but it takes some time to have, you know, all those pipelines released to become a real order for the manufacturer like Jinko. And secondly, for your question is regarding, sorry, I forgot your second question.
Yeah, the how does that compensate the increase in interest rate? Because in some of the earnings call in US, yeah, because banks like JP Morgan and Bank of America are saying that the increase in interest rate and also,
I randomly check with some customers. I won't say that's 100%, but I check some key clients of us, and most of them, their feedback is positive. So because for the existing projects, even if their financial is closed, so normally they secure a fixed interest rate across the whole life cycle of their projects, investment cycles. So for them, it's safe. And even with the module price coming down, and they have more, let's say, returns for their investment. So the interest rate doesn't hurt that part. And for the ongoing projects, because the interest rate is higher, and most of the clients can pass the majority of the interest rate, higher interest rate cost to the end customers, to the PPA customers, who can sign a more attractive PPA price than before. But definitely that won't be 100%, but I share that point from the customer feedback too.
Thank you, thank you. That's definitely part of the some of the cases may happen. Thank you. So I think my final question will be in relation to what is your view on what is the progress of your U.S. expansion capacity, and what is your view as of now as to the chance of getting the IRA subsidies, because there has been quite a lot of market chatters as to there are some lobbying happening in Washington, etc., to target against Chinese players. So would like to know, do you have an update on those?
No, we don't have a clear. We are waiting for this detailed guidance, official detailed guidance released as well. So I think it's still not finalized yet, so we are waiting for that as well. But for the U.S. market, we believe that's a very promising market. We're still holding our bullish positions on that, and we are trying to do whatever we can to serve the U.S. market. But we will take more actions once all those details get released.
And so your plan will complete by the end of this year, right?
Well, we will see. But the previous plan stick to what we have, and if there are, if your question is regarding whether we have new plans, we have to wait until the detailed guidance release.
Okay. Okay. So your plant in Jacksonville, your 1 gigawatt plant, will be completed on time, right? This
yes,
regard of
our
these guidelines.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
At this time, we will conclude our question and answer session. For any additional questions, please contact ir@jinkosolar.com. The conference has now concluded. We thank you for attending today's presentation, and you may now disconnect your lines.